This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2023 special is brought to you by Ma Sing.
8:48 in the morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar and Wong Xiaoning. We are continuing now our channel checks in the run-up to Budget 2023 next Friday. The full reopening of the economy this year has unleashed a parade of vehicles back onto the streets of the Klang Valley with anecdotal evidence that traffic has become worse post-pandemic. The hours spent stuck in congestion can be translated to billions in losses in terms of productivity and also loss of spirit.
Because the frustration over traffic jams is compounded by the lack of alternative transportation options. The efficiency and accessibility of public rail services such as MRT and LRT have come under intense scrutiny, and the absence of sufficient last-mile connectivity has also become a hindrance for KL commuters. In prior budgets, mega infrastructure transport projects like ECRL, MRT2 and LRT2 rail projects have been the focus of the government as a means to push for economic growth.
But is this the best allocation of limited resources when it comes to transportation policy? And what needs to be prioritized in Budget 2023 to effectively improve urban mobility? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Azif Azuddin, an independent urban mobility researcher. Azif, good morning. Thanks very much for speaking with us today. Let's just get a sense of how much money the government actually spends on transport. Do we currently have an idea of how much of our GDP is spent on transportation and the like? Is there a particular target that we should be aiming for?
Right. Firstly, we have to understand that the government defines transportation. It doesn't just mean public transport. It also means logistics, air, sea travel, land travel, which also includes buses and trains. But say we're talking about public transportation, right? It's worth noting that the government invests in capex for infrastructure, as you mentioned earlier, and assets, but not generate operations, unlike other countries that understand the importance of both. And because we're talking about the government's priority on infrastructure, take the MRT3 development, for example, right? The project costs roughly 50 billion ringgit, and that's 3.3% of our 2020 GDP, right? And should there be a target for spending? I believe that should be the case only if the government is willing to fund OPEX as well. But as it goes right now, we are spending way too much on infrastructure than we are on actually OPEX.
I'm just curious though, when we look at the transportation budget, I mean, what's your assessment in terms of budget 2022? Which one did you think made the biggest impact, and conversely, which one have yet to show much effect?
Right. As far as impact goes, I think the most visible is the MY50 for Klang Valley urbanites. But more importantly, I think we need to stress on this as well, is that outside the Klang Valley, there was aid and transformation programs directed towards stage bus operators, which allowed them to expand and continue serving their local communities. And if you're talking about initiatives that haven't seen an obvious impact, we've yet to see any noticeable developments in the East Coast train service, maybe because it also received the smallest allocation, which is about 33 million out of 518 million ringgit for transportation.
So if we look ahead to budget 2023 and more broadly, I guess, in terms of urban transport agenda, where do you think the budget allocation should be prioritized? You mentioned just now about how not much attention is given to OPEX. What would, I guess, prioritizing OPEX look like?
Right. And if you're talking about funding OPEX, right, which is prioritizing that, specifically, we're talking about funding feeder bus services. Now, feeder bus services are generally unreliable, right? And I think anyone who has been on or tried to take the bus knows this. The thing is, the unreliability is usually due to multiple factors, but the solution really is to increase frequencies so you can have more, so you can move passengers faster, right? Understandably, more frequencies also mean higher operating costs, but if you want to encourage public transport adoption, you have to establish reliability. Right now, Prasarana's frequencies are operating at 35% of pre-pandemic levels, and that's now roughly, 15 to 20 minutes of waiting between bus services, and that's not counting congestion that you get caught in. So it's not enough to subsidize fares. You also have to make the services usable, and you do that through funding OPEX.
Meanwhile, are you concerned, Azif, about all these social media posts that we see where people seem to be lining up for a long time for trains and then there have been many breakdowns? Is this the fact that there's a lack of OPEX spent in the right way?
That would be one. When it comes to trains, a lot of it more has to do with asset management and just how and maintenance and how that affects lines. So part of that comes from CAPEX as well, I have to admit. But at the same time, when we're talking about well, I guess it's about needing to allocate funds properly to also for maintenance, not only for maintenance, but also to run the trains and to increase frequencies, right? So it has to be kind of like a nice balance between both. But right now, we've been funding more infrastructure projects than we are funding operational things like maintenance, asset management, and also basically resources.
So, I mean, I suppose based on our conversation, you would think that mega infrastructure projects, they're not really the best way forward. I guess looking ahead, we should be focusing less on mega infrastructure projects and more on just ensuring connectivity between existing links. Is that the case?
Yes. Mega infrastructures, they look great in paper, right? Everyone loves to talk about mega infrastructure because they're attractive to foreign investors. Because it's physical evidence, right, that development is happening. But while we're investing billions and billions in rail infrastructure, we also need to focus on the smaller, less grand, but important details, like improving pedestrian infrastructure, for example, right, making our streets safe and accessible, or developing more robust localized feeder bus services and funding them to connect people from point A to point B without necessarily needing to rely on rail services. The smaller details are a lot less sexy, but they're the ones that have the most impact if improved.
Now, Azif, we know for a fact that the government is facing limited fiscal headroom. Do you think public-private partnerships for transportation projects are then a viable alternative and perhaps right. even a solution?
Right. So we have to fundamentally understand that public transportation is not a revenue-making vehicle, and people need to remember this, right? This also means that the private sector is unlikely to enter this industry unless you can minimize its financial risk. And you do this usually through government incentives or subsidies, right? And this is where PPP comes in a variety of ways. One common example is, say, bus services, where local governments offer contracts to private bus operators to run local services. Smart Selangor is a very good example, right? Another example that we have, which we are more familiar with, is the turnkey project model, which was a PPP between MMC Gamuda and Prasarana for the Kajang and MRT projects, right? Gamuda constructed infrastructure, Prasarana owned then operating once it's completed. Yes, PPPs are a solution, but we also have to reflect on their framework and how it needs to benefit the public long-term, essentially.
And speaking of the long term, we do know that Malaysia is targeting 50% urban public transport use by 2040 as part of the Low Carbon Nation Aspiration 2040 plan. What other transport policies need to be implemented in tandem with public transport budget allocation if the government is actually serious about achieving this aim?
Right. First of all, accessibility. Make the streets safe to use for pedestrians and focus on micromobility, right? If the government is really serious about one, a low carbon future, and two, increasing public transportation adoption, improve and increasing accessibility is the way to go about it, right? Make it easier for people to get around without needing to own a car or motorcycle. As it stands now, the Malaysian urban environment is very hostile towards anything or anyone that isn't a motorized vehicle, right? The mass usage of motorized vehicles, if I may emphasize, contribute to pollution and climate change. Yet we are building more highways and we're offering tax breaks for car purchases, right? The government needs to get its policy priorities straight when it comes to urban transportation. Do they want to focus on private vehicle usage or do they want to focus on public transportation? You can't have both because they're both existential enemies when it comes to urban mobility, unfortunately.
Azif, we're going to let you have your budget wish list. You get to be Tunku Zafu for a few minutes. But
That's nice.
So what is on that list? Both being realistic and if you're shooting for the stars.
Right. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, two things. One is operational expenditure allocations for feeder bus services. Two, special allocations disbursed to local governments to improve and increase pedestrianization in local neighborhoods. These are, I think, very realistic and they're also financially viable as well.
Azif, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Azif Azuddin, independent urban mobility researcher, telling us his wish list for budget 2023 in terms of public transportation. What's really needed to improve the situation?
Not another highway.
It's not the fancy, big, sexy projects. It's really the less sexy, smaller details, but that actually make taking public transport easier for people.
Yeah, because the idea is to get more people to use public transport, right? And that's really part of our nation's goal to being a zero carbon nation by 2050. So the policies all have to line up very nicely. And that's the question mark that I have. Do they line up nicely?
He did point that out. You can't push for more vehicle usage while also trying to push for public transport usage. There's
and
just
then
a mismatch.
Subsidizing petrol at the same time. So what does that all mean?
A lot of things to keep an eye on as we look forward to Budget 2023. It's 8:58 in the morning. Up next, we'll have the KLCI opening, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2023 special was brought to you by MaSing. Reinvent spaces. Enhance life.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.